1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture, and some of you are going to glance up and see if there is the Lord's Supper in front of us. And we are not having Lord's Supper this morning, even though we're going to read a portion of Scripture that we traditionally read when we are observing the Lord's Supper. We're going to preach on this subject this morning, lessons for remembering, lessons for remembering. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture and for this Memorial Day weekend. I pray, Lord, as we spend some time looking back, remembering, dear Lord, I pray that you'll help us with the principles that Jesus presented to us. And Lord, help us to understand the importance of this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I think most folks I've greeted today, I've said happy Memorial Day weekend. I said that to several folks as I was out knocking on doors yesterday. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. It's, I think, a wonderful, wonderful holiday. I'm so glad that we do this in the United States of America. It's important to remember. Memories are important. The right kind of memories are important. Jesus Christ, I think, this part of him certainly reveals, yes, perfection, but humanity. I don't think anybody wants to be forgotten. Think about that. Wouldn't it be sad to live your life, be born, live your life, die, and 2 days after your death, never have one person ever again ever think of you one time? That would be very discouraging. And so Jesus wanted to be remembered. Now, folks, listen to me. It's much more important that Jesus Christ is remembered than any of us that is in this room, because he stands alone. He's separate. He's divine. He's not only the Son of God, but God the Son, and the most important person that's ever walked the face of this earth because of what he did in dying on the cross for our sins. But I do think that he then made sure that he set up something. We call it the observing the Lord's Supper. Sometimes people will call it the communion service. But this is not something that man came up with. This is something that Jesus initiated in the upper room. Now, as I read that this week, I couldn't help but think about the lessons that we can learn from how Jesus made sure that he was not forgotten, how we could take those same lessons, late lessons for remembrance. We take those same lessons and apply them to the things that we ought to remember this very weekend. And so what are those lessons, preachers? You were reading this that you jotted down, wrote down. How are we assured to remember Christ if we simply follow the Bible principles here? Number one, remember on purpose. Remember on purpose. Well, how do you remember on purpose? Well, folks, you're not going to remember something that you do not schedule a time to remember. If you're just hoping that it'll pop into your brain, I'm not saying it never will, but you know what? If you don't have it scheduled, you're not doing it. How many times you hear your preacher say that? If you don't have it scheduled, you're not doing it. And so, you know what? We've got a scheduled time for the things that are important in life. Come on, Sunday school, 9:30. You know what? That's what's on our schedule. Come to church. Come to Sunday school. It's on our schedule. We've got it locked in. 10:30 service, we've got it locked in. 6 o'clock tonight, we've got it locked in. It's on our schedule, therefore we do it. And you say, preacher, I just don't have time for soul winning. That's because you don't have it on your schedule. You know, it's amazing what we do have time for. You know, but if you don't have time to go and you're not going, it's probably because you don't schedule to go. And if you do schedule it, then you're constantly knocking out of it out of its time slot for something that you think is more important. And so when we schedule things, we'll do them. I think we ought to live on purpose. I think we ought to remember on purpose. Verse number 25, you'll find this phrase, "This do ye as oft as ye drink." Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that there ought to be a specific time that we have a frequency of having the Lord's Supper. He just says to each church, for as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. And I've gone to churches that do it every Sunday, attended churches, not been a member of, but attended churches, did it every Sunday. I've done been at churches that do it once a month. I've done been in churches, done it twice a month. I've been in churches that talk to preachers that say we do it quarterly. You know, there's no set time, but there is a set time as far as for that church. You know, our deacons keep track of that, and I'm so thankful y'all keep track of that. It was up to pastor to remember we'd never have Lord's Supper, so that's been delegated to them. Every once in a while, we'll have a special guest or a special event on a Sunday night, and I'll get a text from one of our deacons that says, hey, I know we're scheduled. Did you hear that? I know we're scheduled to have the Lord's Supper this Sunday night. Do you want to have it this Sunday night because of what's going on, or do you want to delay it a week or move it? You know why they remember it? Because it's scheduled. Hey, we ought to schedule a time in our life to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it every other month here, but let me say this. That's an important thing, that we stop what we're doing. I know this, at least six times a year, nobody in this auditorium, if you're there when we do the Lord's Supper, has an excuse for forgetting to remember the body of Christ that was broken for you and the blood that was shed for you. And so you got to remember on purpose. You will not remember if you do not remember on purpose. Number two, remember by doing. I love this thought. Verse 24, this do in remembrance of me. I think it's very interesting that Jesus gave us something to do while we are remembering. And so he could have just said, gather together, get quiet, get into a meditative state, and just remember me. And if he'd have chosen to do that, then that's what we should do. But isn't it interesting that he said, you know what, I want you to take the bread. And I want you to pass it out. And I want you that to be a visual reminder of the of my body that was broken. Doing something helps us to remember. It's interesting. Christ instructed them to do something as they remembered. And then this, I wrote this down. Remember the best. So remember on purpose. Remember by doing. Remember the best. Remember Christ's greatest act of love and sacrifice. And that was when his body was broken and his blood was shed. Now listen, folks, you can remember anything about the Lord Jesus Christ and it'll be good. I promise you that. It'll be positive. It'll be helpful. It'll be holy. But you know what? We're going to talk about remembering other people in just a few minutes. And the honest truth is that's not true of all of us or other things that we'll make application to. But you know what? Jesus didn't said to them, I didn't say to them, I want you to take time to gather together every so often and remember when I've fed the 5,000. He didn't say that. He said, I want you to gather together and I want you to ponder the parable of the sower. No, you know what he said? He didn't want us to forget his body that was broken and his blood that was shed. You know what, folks? He wanted us to go back to the cross, to go back to Calvary on a regular basis, sit there, contemplate it, think about it, be reminded about what he did to pay for our sins. So remember on purpose, remember by doing, remember the best. Number four, remember to pass on the memories. Remember to pass on the memories. You say, where do you get that? Look at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. He said, so the Lord gave me this, and guess what I'm doing? I'm passing it on to you. Look, if you will, verse 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So he said, when you do this, you know what? You're showing the next generation. You're keeping it in front of people. So remember on purpose. Remember by doing. Remember the best. Remember to pass on the memories. Number five, remember you will be remembered. remember, you will be remembered. That's why we get to the last part of this instruction. Isn't it interesting how it shifts in verse number 28? But let a man examine himself. Verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you don't show the Lord's death till he come. Then he goes into this teaching about the importance of self-examination. And you know what he's saying? Hey, you know what? Jesus, listen, Jesus did something remarkable for us. Let's come to that remembrance in a worthy fashion. Let's make sure we're trying. Listen, we're trying to live a life worthy of that level of sacrifice. And so remember that you will be remembered. So when Jesus set this up, he said, schedule it. Hey, remember me on purpose. You know what? Do something that'll help you to remember. You know what? Remember the very best thing that I ever did for you. Remember to pass on the memories. Keep it before your children and your grandchildren. And then while you're doing that, why don't you take some time to examine you? Because you know what? There's going to be a day where somebody remembers you. What are they going to remember? And so these are the lessons for remembering. And I'd like to apply them to our Memorial Day weekend, just in two areas. And first of all, I'd like to take this same formula and help us to remember our servicemen and our servicewomen. Those that have paid the ultimate price, those who offered to pay the ultimate price, maybe that was not required from them, but still they served our country. I think about our forefathers and those men that first put everything on the line just to found this country. And you know what, folks, this ought to be a time this weekend where we remember the ultimate sacrifice. Now, you know what? You know why a lot of people never think about that? Because they don't remember on purpose. And think about this. It's not that it's not on the schedule. I'm glad that we have holidays that make us stop and pause. But I'm afraid that if you'll notice, almost every holiday, the original intent of that holiday, it seems like the devil's tried to destroy it in our lives somehow. Think about that. But I'm glad we have springtime Memorial Day. Think about that. I'm glad we have summer 4th of July. I'm glad we have our fall Veterans Day. You know what? There's at least three times a year. We as Americans are pretty much without excuse, okay? If you got a calendar, it's on there, okay? But you know what a lot of people will do? Come on. And if we're not careful, we can be guilty also. We go into Memorial Day weekend, and you know what? Boy, we've got this plans, and we're going to this ball game, and we're going to go to take the boat out on the lake, and we're going to go to see this family member, and we start on Friday evening and don't quit till we're exhausted on Monday night. And you know what we've done as far as really remembering those that died and sacrificed and paid the ultimate price? Listen to me, you're not going to remember if you don't remember on purpose. Number two, let's just take this formula, plug it in. Remember by doing. Remember by doing. Folks, listen to me. I think that there's some things you can do that will heighten your sense of patriotism, that'll make you more grateful for the price that has been paid for your freedom. Let these sacrifices, by the way, inspire you to do something concrete. Our Operation Think of It ministry has been a blessing. We're in the process of redoing the booklet just a little bit, our Grace Will Lead Me Home booklet, and then we're going to be doing a reprinting in the next month or so. As far as redoing it, all I really have to do is we need to do an update at the end of it. A lot of folks that call in and write believe that Ron Allen is still alive, and they want to talk to him, and they want to know where he lives, and I'd like to go visit him, and can he write me? And so we're going to update that a little bit and reprint it. But you know, folks, can I say this? That gives you something concrete. When we make those booklets available and you carry them in your car, you've got a concrete way of doing something that helps remind you to say thank you to those who have served. And so you ought to do that. You ought to carry those. When we get those reprinted, we'll make them available. I would like every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to have them in every vehicle, because you know what? You never know who the Lord is going to bring across your path. Hey, you know what? Do something concrete, not just this weekend, but on a regular basis that helps you to be thankful to those that have stood guard over our country. You know what? Let me just give you an idea. Watch for opportunities. You go into a restaurant, man alive, if there's soldiers in there and they're eating a meal, don't let them pay for that meal. I mean, I'm not saying everybody can do that every time. You may not be able financially be able to do that, but a lot of us could. A lot of us could. And you know what? Just get the waitress and say, hey, that group over there, that table, I want you to make sure that here's my credit card. Just go pay for that. Here's my debit card. Go make sure that those are taken care of. That may not seem like a big deal to you, but I promise you it does something for them. It helps them to realize, hey, people are thankful for what we do. What I'm saying is this, remember by doing. I think we ought to remember by visiting the war memorials. Come on, from time to time, let's go see them. What happened last summer and the desecration of many of our war statues and our war memorials was a wicked, blasphemous, unpatriotic thing. And people ought to be serving time in jail right now that were involved in that. It was criminal. It was wrong. It was unpatriotic. And as far as I'm concerned, it was satanic. And you know what, folks, listen to me. Those things are placed there for a reason. And you know what they are supposed to do? They're supposed to remind us. Somebody came before you. Hey, young people, the world didn't start the day you were born. Okay, and it's not going to be over the day you die. Okay, so you know what let's do? Let's think about the people that paid the price. You know, I went to preach for David Naputanoa. And he's over there by Rock Island in Illinois. And he wanted to take me to the Rock Island Armory and show me around. And one of the things when we pulled on the property, there was a military cemetery there. And he started driving. I said, hey, Dave, let's stop there. Let's stop there. You know, I hardly ever can pass one of them. And I said, let's just walk and let's just talk. And I went around, we stopped at several places, and I read some of the things and some of the, you know what? It's good for your soul. Parents, I don't care if your kids are this little. You know what? They don't have early memories of mom and dad just walking us through the cemeteries and say, let me tell you why these crosses are here, son. You know why we have such a lack of patriotism? Because you know what? We are not taking the time to visit the memorials. I think you can remember by doing. How about this? Remember by reading. Let's read. Come on, let's read about our American history. Let's read about the people that have paid the price. You know, I had a phone conversation a few years ago with a guy by the name of Major Coffey. He wrote this book here, matter of fact. His name is Major William T. Coffey, and it's called Patriot Hearts. I suppose you could probably go on Amazon, buy a used copy of this for a handful of dollars. I've got one. He wrote this, and I reached out to him because I had a couple questions about some things. And as we began to talk, he asked me about our church, and I told him about our Operation Think of It program. And he was so interested, so engaged, and he ended up sending me. There's actually a sequel to this, I think, called More Patriot Hearts. And he sent me that one. I didn't even know he had written and had inscribed it to me on the front. I was so humbled to get it in the mail. And listen, you know what this does? You say, what is this? It's an anthology of American patriotism. And you know what it does? It just has little stories, little anecdotes, quotes. Chapter 1, duty. Chapter 2, selflessness and sacrifice. You know, where is this in America? Come on. Almost every one of these I'm going to read, it seems like the powers that be are trying to destroy these attributes in our young people. They're not going to accidentally be there if we're not keeping things in front of them. Selflessness and sacrifice, integrity and discipline. Chapter 4, courage and bravery. Chapter 5, combat voices and the warrior spirit. Man, every young man needs to read that. Chapter 6, faith and religion on the battlefield. Chapter 7, the American warrior. Chapter 8, leadership and character. Chapter 9, liberty and freedom. Chapter 10, patriotism. Chapter 11, caring and compassion. Chapter 12, training. Chapter 13, honor and honoring. Chapter 14, old glory, allegiance, and citizenship. Chapter 15, setting the example. Hey, what do you do, preacher? I get to these little reminding places. And you know what I do? I keep it right behind me on the shelf. and I'll pull it off and I'll just flip through it. I'll go to different chapters and I'll read this and read that, read different things. Oh, I'm too busy, on Facebook. Okay, then just go ahead and spend your life on Facebook. I'm too busy doing what I want to. Okay, then don't ever read. Don't pick up a book. Don't realize what was paid for you. And you'll walk around the rest of your life being a little selfish diva, you know. Or you might just read something that reminds you that there was a great price paid for you to enjoy what you get to enjoy every day. I believe that patriotism is the natural emotion produced by a well-read mind. Patriotism is the natural emotion produced by a well-read mind. We don't read American history, and because of that, we don't appreciate our country. So remember on purpose. Remember by doing. Number three, remember the best. Remember the best. You know what, folks? It seems like we're, again, just determined on destroying the idea of America in the hearts of our young people. We have all kinds of teachers in the last 20 years have been educated in our atheistic, come on, agnostic, God-hating universities. And you know what they're doing? They're walking into the classroom and they're rewriting American history. You know what? They are trying to destroy our heroes and they're just trying to destroy the reputation of our forefathers. And folks, listen to me. Why were they tearing down some of those statues? Because somebody got up and instead of teaching them all that George Washington did for this country, think about this. They took his life and put it under a microscope and they forgot and pushed aside every heroic and amazing thing he did, sacrificial thing he did for this country. And they tried to find one or two things that they didn't like or didn't agree with. And then they tried to redefine him by those two things. Now, folks, listen to me. That's unfair. And nobody in this room could stand up to that level of scrutiny. Nobody could stand up to that level of scrutiny. You know, that's a good night. So if we're going to turn somebody into a devil because there's one thing that they did in their lives that we don't agree with or was less than noble, listen, that's what they're trying to do. And I love it. It's a bunch of teachers that have never sacrificed. They've never gone to war. They didn't spend a winter in Valley Forge. But they're going to stand in front of their classroom and desecrate one of the fathers of our country. You got to be careful about this nonsense, folks. You have to be careful. You know, well, how about this? Why don't we remember the best about people, not the worst about people? You know, think about this. This is a crime against American history. Digging into the personal lives of those that have sacrificed greatly, fought valiantly, died bravely, until we find something negative that they did or said, and then we try to redefine them in that light. And all it is history being rewritten by a bunch of people that hate America. It's exactly what it is. And they've energized a group of young people to the point where they're willing to go to our courtyards and our courthouses and, you know what, tear down the statues of people that they don't, listen, they don't have enough patriotism or enough decency to shine the shoes of those people. And yet they'll try to desecrate the memory of those people. So let's remember the best. And then number four, remember to pass on the memories. Hey, let's get our kids the proper education. Thank God for those of you that are homeschooling and using curriculum that puts America in the proper light. Thank God for those of you that have your kids in the Christian school where our American history has not been defiled and rewritten. You know what? We're going to keep our heroes, okay? So let's educate our children. I talk about visiting the memorials and national cemeteries. I think everybody here ought to make that a part of every vacation that you have. No matter which way you're going or what direction you're doing, you know what? Somewhere on the way, there's a place you could stop. You know, there's somewhere you could go for 2 hours. Come on, how many roller coasters are you going to ride in your life? You know, we do everything else. Fun, 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 pleasure, 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 fun, fun, pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. And that's become our gods. Let's take time to take our young people and visit some of these important places in our nation. There are sacred places and there is sacred ground. You know what, I think years ago when we took our 61 of our church members to Washington, D.C. and manned the war memorials for Saturday before Memorial Day and all day Monday of Memorial Day and stood there and passed out booklets for, and honored veterans and shook their hand and looked them in the eye and thanked them for serving our country. And then at the end of those 2 days, going over to Arlington National Cemetery and watching the changing of the guard at the unknown tomb and to stand there and what God did in my heart those 2 days, I came back loving my country more. Reminded of what was sacrificed, what was done. Talking to those veterans, listening to their stories, seeing the memorials, seeing the inscriptions, walking through that sacred ground. Every direction you can see, there's white crosses. You know, daddies didn't come home. Okay, husbands that didn't come home, sons that didn't come home, daughters that didn't come home. Are you listening? You know what? And then we want to just spit on this country. We want to kneel down during the national anthem. Are you kidding me? They want to pass some legislation. They ought to pass some legislation that makes that a crime. That's what they ought to do. I mean, a bunch of people that's not paid not made one sacrifice for this country. Matter of fact, all they've done is take advantage of what other people have provided for them, and then they want to spit on the flag. God help us. So let's not raise children like that. Hey, these young people that are acting that way, excuse me, mom and dad, you're responsible for that. Grandma and grandpa, where's your voice in it? I'm going to tell you something. I admire some of the stands that I've seen taken. There was one man that was a referee and had been a referee in high school sports for over 40 years. And while all this nonsense was going on, he showed up to referee a game, and some of the young ladies on one of the volleyball teams, I think it was volleyball, decided they were going to kneel down the national anthem. He walked out. By the way, you don't have a referee, you don't have a game. And you know what? The sad part about it is it made the national news, and the talking head liberal media was making him a terrible person for it. I think he's a hero. I think he's a hero. How about that? How about we just get every umpire to decide, you kneel down during the flag, or you're hiding in the locker room during the, you know what? Then you get somebody else to ump this game. By the way, I don't understand people going into the stands and watching the thing. How about if everybody that showed up in the stands, the minute one person knelt during it, just all got up and walked out? How about, where's the coaches? Why aren't they walking out? You know, we're standing by and letting this nonsense happen. And listen, we've got to pass these memories on to our young people. Let's teach the next generation to appreciate those that have sacrificed. And by the way, remember, you will be remembered. You know what's so good about remembering these things and remembering people that have paid that price? Because as we're standing there remembering them and being thankful for what they did, there's that wonderful, still, small voice that speaks to all of our hearts and says, well, what about you? What are you sacrificing? What are you doing? How are you benefiting our country? What are you doing to leave the right heritage? What are you doing? What kind of life are you leading? I like John F. Kennedy's quote, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. For a long time, all we heard about was civic duties. That's what a nation was taught for the first 180 years of its history. Civic duties, civic duties, civic duties. Then all of a sudden, 50 years ago, a bunch of people started getting up screaming about civil rights. There's a difference between civic duty and having that mindset. You know what? I have a duty because I was born in the United States of America to make this a better place. And then other people look at it and say, wait a minute, what are my rights? What does my country owe me? Well, how about what do you owe your country? So let's remember our servicemen and our servicewomen. But listen, folks, part of this weekend ought to be also spent remembering our sweet departed loved ones. And hey, listen, let's go take some fresh flowers to the grave sites. Let's spend some time. Okay, well, that's a long trip. It's out of our way. Then let's go out of our way. Then let's go out of our way. Okay, we got time for barbecue. We don't have time for this. Okay, remember our sweet departed loved ones. Remember on purpose. This is why we have Memorial Day. Memorial Day ought to include a visit to the resting place of our loved ones. You know what? Not just this day, but let other days trigger that. You know what? What about on their birthdays? What about on their anniversaries? Again, if you don't schedule it and do it on purpose, have some things that will make you remember and cause you to remember, you won't remember. And so I think there's certain days that you ought to just say, okay, I don't really care what's on the calendar that day. I'm going to find a couple hours and I'm going to go visit mom. I'm going to go visit her resting place, her dad's resting place, or grandma or grandpa's resting place. And so remember on purpose. This also will help you. Listen, folks, this will help you not to over sorrow. I know that this is going to sound to some of you unreasonable, but I promise you it does work. But you know what? I see people sometimes just so controlled by loss and grief that, you know what, it's almost like they can't function. You know what? You know, I feel the same things you feel, and I don't think I loved my mom and dad any less than you. But you know, one of the reasons I don't let over sorrow and I don't feel like I have to or need to do it every day is because I scheduled the days to do it. I sorrow on purpose. Okay, and then you know what I do the rest of the time? I live my life like my mom and dad would want me to live it. Not sitting in a dark place overcome by sorrow, but by doing the will of God and what God has called me to do. The best way to remember maybe is in the doing. How about that? Remember on purpose, remember by doing. The best way to remember someone is by doing something in their memory, doing something positive, doing something good. You know what? If all your remembrances just shut you down and drive you to depression, then you know what? You're not sorrowing correctly. If you want to remember them, go remember them in a positive way. Do something in their memory. Do something that they enjoy. Do something beneficial to someone else. Well, I miss the time she did this for me. I got an idea. Instead of sitting around missing those times, why don't you become she and do that for somebody else? You know what? We can turn sorrow into positivity. Number three, remember the best. Let me pause and say this. You know what? As I said before, when it comes to Jesus Christ and remembering him, you know what? You can't think of anything about Christ that's not positive and good and holy and right. Amen. But you know what? That's not true with our loved ones. And I watch people sometimes do to their family members what I just got on my soapbox and complained that the people are doing when it comes to our national heroes. And if you want to, you can remember mom and dad in a negative light. Well, yeah, but they were this and they were that. Okay, all right. Why don't you remember the best? Why don't you remember the best? Remember the good. Listen, hold on to the best memories. And all the rest of them, just let them go. Just let them go. Don't dwell on the negatives. Well, I can't help what I remember. You know, I tell people this. You know what you remember? You remember what you keep remembering. You remember what you take the time to remember. You know, I used to know at one point in time, I'm sure I did, what my home phone number was. Back when we had landlines, amen. My home phone number was. When we were growing up in Brazil, Indiana, I have no doubt that at one point in time I remembered that I lived there in that house, you know, all the way up to seventh grade. I've used that phone. I've called that number, I know, more than once. I don't remember it. You know why I don't remember it? Because it's been 53 years since I dialed it. You know when I was remembering it? While I kept dialing it. But when we changed phones, some of you need to change phones, amen. When we changed phones, I haven't dialed it in 53 years. You know, well, I can't help but remember because you keep dialing it. You know, you dial up good memories, then you strengthen good memories. You dial up bad memories and you strengthen bad. Oh, this is so good. It's, oh, I just can't help the way I feel. Well, then just go crawl up in a corner and be a victim. No, suck your thumb and be a victim the rest of your life because poor you and life's just been so terrible and you just, you know, you got an excuse and all this. You know, that's what's killing America, that kind of thinking. I'm so sick of a victim mentality. I'm so sick of people walking in. I mean, they'll spend 45 minutes listening to a message and they'll miss everything I say because they're zeroed in on one thing. What can I be offended about today? And that's being trained into our young people. I mean, they literally show up to events looking for something that is they can say is offensive to them or hurt their feelings or they didn't like or we should have done different. You know, that's training. That's training. I don't remember the number because I don't dial it. You know what? What you dial up on a regular basis, you're going to remember. What you stop dialing, you're going to forget. Yeah, that is good. Amen. I was about to have to amen myself there. Thank you helping me out there. Let's remember the best. Remember to pass on the memories. I'm talking about your sweet departed loved ones. Take your children when you visit the gravestones. Tell them stories, mom, dad stories, grandma, grandpa stories. Talk to them. Tell them about it. Hey, those of us that are in the 60 and older range, and I'm just barely there. I'm practically 50s, almost 50s. Yeah, I'm just hanging on. Yeah, thank you, brother. Thank you. I needed an amen there, too, because I was too honest to amen myself there. So, yeah. But, you know, one of the things that, listen, I don't know why people, I guess you go to despair if you choose to go to despair, and you go to depression if you choose to go to depression. But I think every phase of life is so important, and I think you need to find purpose in every phase of life. You know, if you're closing out the last chapters of your life, man alive, leave something for your kids. Leave something for your grandkids. You know, when Dad turned 70 years of age, I began to talk to him, and I came into his office. And he was pastor emeritus at that time, so I thought, well, that makes me pastor, so he has to do what I say. And, yeah, that didn't work out so well. But anyway, but I told Dad, I said, I'd like you to write down something. Jerry, I'm not a writer. I'm not a writer. I know, Dad, I'm not asking you to be a writer. I'm just asking you to write down some things. I tried so many times to get him to write a book. And I said, you know what I'm going to do, Dad? I said, I'm going to come up with some people groups. And I'm just going to ask, I'm going to have a list of them. All right, here's the people groups, husbands, wives. I'm going to have all these people groups. And if you could sit down and say, I'm going to give 5 pieces of advice to husbands. All you got to do is just write the 5 pieces of advice. To wives, to fathers, to mothers, to children, to teenagers, to young couples, to Bible college students, to preachers, preachers' wives, children's workers, deacons, church members, soul winners, fellow Americans, and grandparents. And I said, Dad, just write down 5 pieces of advice. You don't have to write a paragraph, just a sentence. Just 5 sentences, 5 pieces of advice. The most important things, if you had an opportunity to speak to every husband, what would you leave for him? And you know what? I kept having to bug him a little. You know, I'll be honest with you. Hey, Dad, how are we doing on that? Well, I'll get to it, you know. Hey, he turned 70. Folks, he passed away 6 months after he was turned 71. I'm sorry, but let me just say this. I'm glad I kept bugging him. Advice for preachers. I mean, this is Dad, 41 years in ministry. As you preach, Christ must always be lifted up. In bringing people to Christ, you have the right to speak, but not to act. His word, powered by the Holy Spirit, must do the work. God does more by his word alone than you and I and all the world by our united strength. You know why I have this? By the way, I'm not the only one to have this. You know why Bob has this? Lori has this? Because he left us something. You know when my grandkids are going to have this? By the way, how many of you have a grandparent that's gone? You wish you had this. All right, listen to me. Then you're here now. Don't leave your grandkids with nothing. Leave them with something. You don't have to be a writer, but you can leave them with something. You know, advice to, I read this, church members. Know this, that the over, number one. Know this, that the overall work of God is more important than any personal whim you may have. I know that doesn't sound like Bob Ross, does it? No. See, the reason I'm so mean, it's his fault. That's what it is. Number two, remember to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Number three, your actions, speech, and attitude will cause the community you live in to determine the worth of the church you attend. Did you get that? Your actions, speech, and attitude will cause the community you live in to determine the worth of the church you attend. The preacher that stands behind the pulpit was not chosen by you, but was sent by God to lead you and to feed you his word. I didn't get any amens on that one. Number five. By the way, whether or not you believe what I just read there will determine how the next transition goes. Okay? This man, 41 years. Instead of arguing back, you might just listen. Amen. You know, remember, our fellowship with God can only be right if our fellowship with the brethren is right. I mean, fellow Americans, I'm reading some of this, okay? Fellow Americans, number one, never, this is what we talk about today, never forget the sacrifices that have been made for our freedom. Simple, isn't it? But you know what? If he said, I could say something to every American, I'd say this. Don't forget the sacrifice. Well, how are you going to remember? By remembering on purpose. By reading. By visiting certain things. Okay? Number two, be willing to sacrifice so that we and future generations may keep this freedom. America better hear that. Number three, remember only by God's grace were we born in this great country. To him be honor and glory forever. Number four, always live according to and stand upon the principles of God's word. Now, number five is so good. If at all possible, and then he lists three things. If at all possible, leave every situation better than when you found it. Leave every discouraged person encouraged. Leave every person in true need with some help. Okay? Now, what I'm saying is this. You know what? I'm glad I have this. I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to do it, and I don't know whatever. Listen, you're in that phase of life. You know what? One of these days, it's going to be gone. And everything you know and everything that you remember and every memory you have will die with you. And if you didn't share it or you didn't write it down, it's going to die with you. I mean this. I'm going to give some of our elderly folks that I think are just sitting at home, honestly, feeling unfulfilled. I'm giving you a purpose right now. I'm giving you a plan right now. I'll show you something else that we did when Mom and Dad passed away. I was going through Mom and Dad's and personal effects and all of their pictures and all of that. And you know what? I can say this. If you're going to take a picture, now everybody's got pictures on their phones now, right? We don't even do this. But you know what? A picture with nothing written on the back of it is not going to mean something to anybody two generations from now. How many of you have pictures right now? I mean, I have pictures that I went through and I'm looking at people and I have no idea who they are. And you know what? I'm getting ready to throw these pictures away, and they may be my great-great-grandpa. And, you know, why are you going to throw them away? To save my kids from having to throw them away? Because somebody at some point is going to say, I don't know who this is. And so take some time. Take some time. You know what's really neat is what we can do with those pictures nowadays. You know, I mean, if you die, I just went through this. I'm telling you. If you die and there's two totes this big of all these pictures, and you're sitting there out in your shop where you do your work, and you've got it sitting on your work table that kind of looks like a pool table, but anyway. And you start spreading all these pictures out, and you know what, folks? You know what? What are you going to do with them? And nobody's going to go through totes of pictures every few months. But you can. There's some place called Shutterfly. Any woman that knows Pinterest, they can help you, okay? Pinterest has destroyed the United States of America, but there is a couple of good things it's provided, so anyway. But you know what I said? I went through all of my mom's mom and dad and Grandma and Grandpa Ogle, Marvin and Ruth Ogle, and I started separating all those pictures, and then when I got them all separated, I took four totes, and I divided those four that pile of pictures into four different totes. Lori, Bob, Jerry, David. We're dividing all these out. But before we get them all scattered everywhere, let me pick through them. And you know what I did? I just put together our grandparents, Marvin and Ruth Ogle. Now listen, somebody's not going to get in a box somewhere and go through a bunch of pictures to find a handful of ones that actually are meaningful, they understand. But you know what I did? Listen, I did this for me and I enjoy it. But I'm going to give one of these to all of our children. I'm going to give one of these to all of our grandchildren. You know what I believe? I believe that in our waning years, we have an obligation to make remembering the important things easy for the next generation. And really with the technology, we have the ability to do this, you know. And see those four kids right there? Listen, Jerry Purcell called us hoodlums the other night. He called us hoodlums right here in this church. I want to ask you, does that look like hoodlums right there? Look at those innocent smiles. Look at that. Look at that. Sharp, clean cut, angelic thoughts, no doubt, going through our minds. But I just throwing some things out to you. Hey, let's take Memorial Day and just make some decisions, you know. Hey, you know what? I'm glad I got that. I'm glad that my kids are going to have that. And don't just put pictures in. You can get a place you can type underneath it. What are you doing? I'm saying this. You know what? If we're going to remember our sweet departed loved ones, let's remember on purpose. Remember by doing. Let's remember the best. Let's pass on the memories. Let's pass on the memories. We're getting ready to celebrate in a year the 50th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Guess what? It's not going to be a week of us coming up and telling about every bad thing that has ever happened at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, there's people that would love if we turned it into that, because you live for negativity. But we couldn't find any bad things in the last 50. Well, maybe a few, you know, here and there. But, you know, you say, well, what are they preaching? Now you got us curious. I don't know. I don't dial that number. If you stop dialing the number, you'll forget the number. You remember the numbers you dial. All right. Oh, no, this isn't a perfect place, but this has been a blessed place. And this has been a place that people still come to this day. They'll take their vacation and come through and knock on the office door. And they'll say, I want to bring my kids in here because this is where I got saved, in one of your vacation Bible schools. You know what? This place can be a place of sweet memories, or it can be a place of bitterness. A lot of it depends on what kind of life you're living now. That's the honest truth. Remember to pass on the memories, you know. Remember that you will also be remembered. Now think about that, and we're done. But you know, as we are spending time remembering, remember this, every one of us, if the Lord tarries, is just going to be a memory. What kind of memory are we going to be? Are we going to have grandchildren that remembered that we loved the Lord, that we were faithful to God? You know what? Are we going to provide them and lead them some things that can influence them way into their adult lives and even into their children's adult lives if God tarries? We have the ability to pass on some wonderful things. I don't know, maybe this will just be some things that will give you thoughts, probably better ideas than I come up with. But I think each and every one of us ought to say, you know what, I'm going to preserve some things so that the generations that come up can remember that God was in our family and that God was in our lives. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this Memorial Day weekend, and Lord, for sweet memories, good memories. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would please, Lord, use this weekend to help us to go back and have a heightened appreciation for the price that was paid for our freedom. Also, Lord, for our own family, sweet and dear to us. And Lord, may we revisit the best of those memories. And Lord, we don't want to leave you out of it. I think Memorial Day weekend is a great weekend just to say, hey, let's remember what Jesus did for us. So I pray that you'll help us all, Lord. Thank you for these lessons that you left us on remembering. Pray these things in Jesus' name.